You're listening to Greater LA from KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The strike across the University of California system by graduate student workers, it's still going on. Grad students have stopped teaching their undergraduate discussion classes. They've stopped conducting research. They've stopped grading assignments. There's been daily bargaining and a tentative deal reached with academic researchers and postdocs, but that's no big breakthrough to end the strike. And now it's finals week. What a mess if you're going to college at UCLA this term.
I haven't gotten like a lot of my midterm grades yet. I haven't gotten in like some of my papers graded.
Like students are really, really confused. We honestly don't even know like who's going to be grading our assignments.
KCRW's Robin Estrin spent the week talking to UCLA students and professors, and she's with us now to tell us how they're doing. Hi, Robin.
Hey, Steve.
So this strike has been going on for nearly 4 weeks, a month. What's it about?
Grad students can't afford to live near a lot of the universities of California, especially here in Los Angeles. When you think about it, they are paying tuition to go to school, and at the same time, they're teaching and grading, and they're not even allowed to work more than half time in a lot of cases. So they're saying it's very challenging to make ends meet. They want more pay. That's a big part of this. But then there's this bigger thing, and it's that these students feel like they're part of this culture of exploitation at the university. I talked to a lecturer at UCLA about this. His name is Cody Trojan, and he's in the political science department.
The whole point of this strike is because the model in which higher education is kind of run now is really unsustainable.
So Trojan is a lecturer, right? Lecturers are contractors. They're not professors with tenure, and they don't really have job security. They teach a lot of classes at the UC. The union representing lecturers said about 30 to 40% of credit hours at UCLA are taught by lecturers. And what I'm hearing from lecturers is that the job insecurity that they're experiencing starts way earlier for a lot of them.
People begin as graduate students and they are TAs and they're kind of deferring starting families, being okay with having lots of roommates and saying, well, I'll have an adult life when I get to 35 or something and I'll have a family then. And then once they receive their PhDs, they realize there is no tenure track, well-paid job for them.
The specific demands include, you know, higher salary for a lot of these graduate students. They're asking now for a base salary of $43,000 a year as a minimum, with more for postdocs, and then other things like better childcare reimbursements and family leave.
How is this, Robin, affecting undergrad students at UCLA? These are the, you know, folks that obviously have a lot of stress, finals, all of that, right? How's it affecting them?
There have been some very widespread disruptions at UC campuses across the state. And I spent this last week talking to undergraduates at UCLA. And, you know, some are more impacted than others. Older students are in smaller classes typically. They're getting more FaceTime with their professors, and they've seen less disruption because there's less reliance on teaching assistants, who are those graduate students on strike. But, you know, these younger students are in huge lower division classes with hundreds of other students that really rely on the labor of teaching assistants.
Those are the auditorium classes, right, where there are so many students in there.
Yeah, and they have these breakout weekly discussion sections with their TAs, and those sections have been canceled. Their TAs are on strike. So that means a lot of students did not learn what they needed to learn or wanted to learn this quarter. UCLA sophomore Sophia Dobry is a math economics major.
All my TA sections are canceled, which is kind of where you get to talk about all the concepts and ask questions.
And for Dobry, I mean, there's this fear that the information that she missed at the end of this quarter, you know, in her math and economics classes, that's foundational information for a second year in college. And she worries that that will come back to haunt her later in her learning career.
It hasn't been super easy to go over like your mistakes on past exams with the TAs gone and then the professor not being super available. So that's like then hard. How are you going to like learn from your mistakes, which is kind of the most important part.
So Dobry has tried to make up the learning loss by getting together with friends and studying. But, you know, she's walking into her final this week after having no feedback on her assignments for almost a month.
Robin, when you think about the first couple of years of college, students aren't just learning things that they need in their major. I mean, this is, you know, they're trying to nail down a career path. They're trying to figure out what they want to do for a living. Has the strike affected their ability to do that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most troubling, you know, pieces of collateral for this strike is that a lot of these younger students are really concerned about their grades and their finals and everything, you know, chugging along in their university career. But there's also this real feeling of loss when it comes to exploration. Students come to campus, come to university to explore, who am I going to be? What am I going to do? And I talked to this UCLA sophomore about this. Her name is Olivia Dalton, and she's studying environmental science. She was really bummed out about her oceanography class this quarter.
That might be something that I go into and, like, you know, further studies. And I'm a little, like, still wary about that. And, like, I think if I had had the full quarter of learning, I would have been like, okay, this is definitely something I want to do. But I don't know if I have that full just knowledge to, like, make that decision.
So there's this real sense of loss for a lot of students.
How are professors handling finals week with all this learning loss and this, as you say, confusion about expectations?
Well, it's really been up to each professor to make that decision themselves. And that has really contributed to confusion on campus because it's not easy to pin that down class by class or student by student. So the university released these guidelines basically saying professors could make these changes to their finals to accommodate the situation that these undergrads have been put through, right? So they could make the finals shorter. They could make them optional. There's this thing called a no-harm final at UCLA where professors could say you can volunteer to take the final and it can only help your grade but not hurt it. And then there's also this option to change the format of the final. Professors were able to say, you know, instead of writing this essay, you can take a multiple choice test. Some professors made these changes to the finals and others didn't. And I talked to one professor who didn't. His name is Chris Herring. He's a sociology professor and he teaches one of those big 150-person undergraduate classes. He told his students in the beginning of the quarter that they would be writing a final essay and that hasn't changed because of the strike, despite the fact that his students haven't been to class, you know, in a classroom with him for almost a month.
Now, I could have changed all of these assignments. I could have done a total multiple choice thing and sent it through a machine. However, this would precisely, you know, prove the idea that we do not need these TAs and that the course could go on, you know, as usual and as planned.
That's not a message he wants to send, right? He was a grad student for 10 years. Just recently, this is his first quarter teaching at UCLA, and he sympathizes with the striking TAs.
I also lived in my office at UC Berkeley for 3 months out of the inability to find a livable situation easy in that housing market under my salary as a graduate student.
So Herring is doing what a lot of professors are doing. He's not carrying on with business as usual to respect the strike, but he's also not striking himself, which he's allowed to legally as a tenured professor. He's been teaching on the picket line. He's been posting video material online for his students and holding office hours. And he says that some professors have taken a more hardline approach, meaning they're really not interacting with undergrads very much at all. But others have been teaching through the strike. Herring's approach of doing a little of this, a little of that is probably the most common. These are tough calls for professors.
Do we even know who's going to be grading these exams? I mean, the grad students, right? They're the ones, and the teaching assistants, they're the ones who usually do a lot of that work, or how final grades are going to be even submitted.
Yeah, so TAs are not going to be doing the grading.
Okay.
And it's really not clear how they're going to be graded. You know, tomorrow is the last day of the quarter, and the UC is urging professors to take on that work, to grade those finals and to submit those grades. And they've really kind of been kicking the can down the road. They pushed back the grading deadline from December 16th to December 30th. But how and when those grades will be submitted is really not clear because a lot of professors do not want to pick up the struck labor of their TAs. They see that as crossing the picket line. So in that case, I mean, professors can submit grades as NG, that's not graded, and that doesn't leave a permanent mark on a student's transcript. It can be changed whenever the grades ultimately are submitted. And for most students, this won't be an issue in the long term, but it could be for students who need grades to maintain visas or scholarships. And in those cases, at least in Herring's case, he's willing to kind of cross the picket line and submit grades for those students.
This is obviously a monumental disruption for students who have seen a lot of disruptions, right? Just even in the past few years with the pandemic going on and just a lot this holiday season. KCRW's Robin Estrin reporting for us. Robin, thanks for coming in and talking with us about it.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, there's more of Greater LA coming up in just a moment, but first a word about this season of giving, which of course involves everybody from Santa Claus to mom and or dad or grandma or even your own generosity when it comes to KCRW. We actually call this the season of giving back, a time to really understand that those things are important to you, right? The things that are important to you in your world. What is your reason to give this holiday? Is the truthful information you need and hear with context on KCRW? Is it a song that maybe elevates your day? Maybe an event here in LA that keeps you connected? Whatever your reason, we ask that you donate now at kcrw.com/give. If you're already a member and have given this year, well, we do thank you for that. How about adding to it a little bit for the holidays and for this year-end giving? No matter how or why you do it, we ask that you step up and help out. You mean the world to us. We can't do it without you. KCRW.com/give. And thank you for your support of public radio. Still to come, an optimistic podcast about life through some very difficult times, how to roll with the punches and help others while you're at it. That's yours after this.